So with consciousness research, we discovered a lot of very interesting things. Things I like to share with people because it relieves a lot of anxiety about life. We discovered, for one thing, and we can reconfirm it, and anybody's free to reconfirm it, that the human spirit doesn't enter the embryo until the third month of pregnancy. So this little potential human being then is just this little embryo, and the spirit doesn't really enter it till the third month. Well, that was sort of an interesting thing, which nobody had ever discovered. We also discovered that the exact moment and time of death is karmically set. From the instant you're born, the time, the when of your leaving is already set. We also discovered that at the moment you're born, there's already a calibrated level of consciousness. And in fact, this consciousness rarely changes in a human lifetime much more than 5 points. Most people advance about 5 points in a lifetime. So at the very moment of birth, then, one infant calibrates at 240, another one at 460, another one at 92, etc. So, you know, in line with understanding of karma, then there must be some reason why the human spirits enter a physicality at completely different levels of consciousness. Now, there was something interesting we learned about after you go, too. We found that if you're going to be cremated or something, it's best to wait 3 days. That the spirit, when it leaves the body, very often needs a couple days to get used to mourning, leaving this physicality and all that's associated with it before it's ready to go on. So we found that was sort of an interesting discovery, too. Wait 3 days. There's only one possible death that can be experienced. And as that moment arises, then if you transcend the ego, if you really get very intent on spiritual work, meditation, and letting go and surrendering everything to God as it arises, as each feeling or thought arises, there's a willingness. Devotion to truth means the willingness to surrender anything and everything to God as it arises, not to cling to it, not to hang on to it, not to try and anticipate it and live on the advancing wave and not cling to the past at the back of the wave, but to stay right at the crest of the wave of that which is passing through conscious experience of the existent moment. To be willing to surrender everything as it arises to God as it arises, to not cling to anything and not try to reach forward to the future and not cling to the past. Eventually you begin to transcend the crest of the wave, and you begin to see that thinkingness is arising out of some base aspect of the mind. There is like a compulsion to think. There's like an energy of thinkingness, a desire to think. And as one begins to get that thinkingness is arising of its own, one begins to discern that consciousness, thinkingness, and the whole field is not your personal self. So spiritual evolution really begins to take off when you stop identifying with the physicality of the body. You realize I'm not a physical body. You realize that you are not the animal instincts of the ego. You begin to see that mind is happening of its own. If you were your mind, you could tell it to stop. People say, my thoughts are driving me crazy. And I say, well, why don't you stop them then? They say, well, I can't. I said, yes, it's because you're not your mind. You're not your physical body, and you're not your mind. If you were your mind, you could say, stop, and it would stop thinking. No. You can say, mind, stop, and it completely ignores you. So the mind must not be who you are. If it was who you are, it would instantly obey you. No, it's got a life of its own. Wow. So there's something that's really sort of foreign and not yourself that's running, that you're paying attention to. All this thinkingness then is happening of its own. So we then begin to really move ahead in consciousness, and people at that point very often get interested in meditation. And the only purpose of meditation then is to sit quietly and watch how the mind is working. And as you do, you see these thoughts and these feelings arise. And if you stop resisting them and just begin to surrender them, then you get to the realization that these thoughts are arising from an energy field which is devoted to the creation of thinking, of thoughts. And then you begin to realize that you're hooked on them. It's really an addiction. There's really an addiction to this entertainment going on. So we bemoan the mind. We say, oh, I suffer. Oh, I wish I could forget this and forget that. That's not the truth. Because if you really wanted to, you would stop. No. The thing that gives the ego its seeming hold over us is that the ego, which does not survive on love, it survives on not love. What it survives on is the juice that it gets out of its positionalities. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. You can't give up love and hate and fear and jealousy and all those things just because you decide to. You have to dismantle it. So non-duality means you start taking the mind apart to see what makes it work. Once you understand what makes it work, where its juice is coming from, then you have a chance. So non-duality means we begin to look at thought and we see that what propagates the endless succession of thoughts is the payoff that we get from them. You say, well, I don't get any payoff out of guilt and suffering. Oh, yes, you do. What is the payoff you get out of guilt and suffering? It's guilt and suffering. It's its own payoff. You get to feel awful. You get to feel, oh, woe is me. First of all, you get the satisfaction of egocentricity. You get to examine the wonderful, wonderful entity called I with a small I. And its dramatic vicissitudes. The great drama of one's life plays across one's head and one is entranced with it. What's going on is that the thoughts, the ego, creates these thoughts and feelings, and the reason they propagate is for the juice we get out of them. So you don't have to give up thinking or thoughts. The ego, all you have to give up is the juice. The juice of punishing yourself, the juice of feeling right. Think about the juice of feeling righteous. I mean, look at victimhood. The biggest business in today's world is victimhood. It's victimhood that dominates the airwaves, dominates the courts, dominates politics. Victimhood is what it's all about. And the enormous competition to be the bigger, better victim of the moment.